Gist, and you are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acre.
Every Friday on WGXC from noon until 2, check out the Sugar Shack Jukebox featuring decades of funk, R&B, rock, pop, soul, and much more. That's every Friday on WGXC after the noon headlines until 2 p.m.
This is Cheryl Kay, host of the Jazz Disturbance on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Thursday evening of each month at 7 p.m. on 90.7 FM WGXC. On Thursday, August 30th, my guest will be Ulster County resident drummer Jeff Siegel. His quartet recorded their fourth album and second live recording, London Live, at Pizza Express Jazz Club in London, England in 2010. Jeff will talk about the tour, the unexpected twists and turns that led to this recording, his band, and their upcoming gigs in the area. The release is out on ARC Records. The Jazz Disturbance on 90.7 FM WGXC, hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia Counties, online at WGXC.org, and via the TuneIn app on your smartphone.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Art Oh My, an international center for the arts located in Ghent, New York. Art Oh My, the Fields Sculpture Park, presents the works of internationally recognized contemporary modern artists and architects in an outdoor environment open dawn to dusk, 365 days a year. Art Oh My offers a year-round indoor gallery, calendar of public arts events, as well as international artist residencies. Art Oh My believes that exposure to internationally diverse creative voices fosters tolerance and respect, raises awareness, inspires innovation, and ignites change. Information at artomi.org.
Hello, welcome to Roots Runners Rhizomes, radical health and healing from the underground. I'm Sarah Faulkner.
And I'm Lauren Jambroni.
Hey, we are so delighted to be speaking today with Song Choi, who's on the line. She is a pharmacist and dispensary director of the downstate region of Etaine Health, a dispensary that offers medical marijuana in New York State. Song has over 16 years of experience practicing in specialty pharmacies focused on HIV and infectious disease, oncology, transplants, compounding, and fertility. She received her degree from Long Island University College of Pharmacy and served as the pharmacist in charge and manager of a specialty pharmacy counseling patients with complex drug regimens prior to her work with Etaine. Through her extensive experience as a pharmacist, Song brings strong competencies as a pharmacy manager and patient counselor to Etaine. Song prides herself on her ability to interact with patients and believes in the importance of both high-quality medicine and committed counseling in providing compassionate care to the patients of New York State. Song, welcome to the show. Hello. Are you on the line?
Hi.
Oh,
yes, hi. How are
so
you?
So excited.
Thank you for having me today.
Oh, Thank you.
I am a pharmacist. I work for Etaine, and our company is actually, it was one of five companies that are running right now. We're called a registered organization. There's another five that have been added, and we have four locations right now. We have one in New York City, we have one in Kingston, Syracuse, and Yonkers. And it is, I'm really proud to be a part of a company that is actually all women-owned and operated. So it's kind of an amazing to be a part of this company in that way.
Awesome. Amazing.
Thanks so much. So gosh, where do we begin unpacking all this? Because there's a million questions. And of course, I know a lot of folks have questions about THC, CBD, medical marijuana versus medicine that you don't legally need a prescription for, all these kinds of questions. What these medicines can help us with.
Right.
Do we want to talk a little first, though, maybe with Song about your background and how you came to Etain, and then maybe unpack for folks the state of medical marijuana in New York?
Yeah, the laws around it.
Sure. So I, you know, as you mentioned, I have been a pharmacist for about, I think, 17 years now. The bio was written a year ago. So I have been a pharmacist for a while. And I was just walking my dogs, actually, you know, at a dog park, and there was this big sign that said, oh, medical marijuana coming to New York. And I had always been interested in cannabis in the sense that I had heard that it was being used medically, and it could have so many good effects on people with conditions that, you know, especially pain and cancer. So it just got me thinking, too, maybe I should just kind of research this and see what it's all about. The more I researched, the more I read about it, the more I realized, wow, this is kind of amazing that a plant that has been around for centuries can actually do all these wonderful things. So I actually took a trip out to Colorado a few years ago because I didn't know what a dispensary looked like. I mean, in my brain, I thought it was going to be kind of seedy looking and, you know, graffiti everywhere and just kind of strange looking. But when I actually went to a dispensary, I thought, oh, wow, it's actually very nice and very medical looking. So then after that, I was just given an opportunity. A friend of mine called me and said, hey, you know, there are these ladies who want to apply for a license in New York, and they need a pharmacist to be a part of the application. And basically, my friend didn't even have to finish that thought. I said yes.
Cool. Right?
And whatever it was, I said yes. I didn't need an explanation. So that's how I got into this. And it's been sort of amazing. So basically, in 2014, Governor Cuomo enacted the Compassionate Care Act, which just made it medical grade, pharmaceutical grade cannabis to be available to patients with certain qualifying conditions. So I can tell you the conditions. So there's cancer, chronic pain, HIV/AIDS, mm-hmm. ALS, Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, spinal cord injury with spasticity, epilepsy, inflammatory bowel disease, neuropathy, Huntington's disease, PTSD, and just recently added about 2 months ago is in the use of decreasing opioid use is a qualifying condition now.
Oh, wow. Oh, great.
So, so right now the stats are that there are 1,800 doctors or practitioners that are able to certify patients. And as of now, as of August 21st, the last time the stats were taken, there are about 68,000 patients registered to be able to get medical marijuana in the state of New York.
Awesome.
So then, wow, that's great. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So they could come get the prescription from their practitioner and come to the dispensary, and you would
counsel them?
Right, be able
about
to work
the
with
product?
So the way that works in our dispensary or in the state of New York is that the first time, so once you get certified by a physician or a nurse practitioner or physician's assistant, once you get certified by them, because you have one or more of the qualifying conditions, they give you a piece of paper it's called a certification, and you get a medical marijuana card from the state. Once you bring those, the paperwork and the card in, you have to make an appointment to see the pharmacist, and the first consult is done with the pharmacist. So we just go over their condition, we go over their medications, what is going on, especially, you know, medically, why they came to seek medical marijuana in the first place. And we just kind of go over the different ratios that we carry, maybe some drug interactions there might be, and we just kind of go over everything and sort of what their goal is as far as why they came to see us.
And again, can you tell us a little bit about the process of a person getting certified? Like, is that, does that take a while typically? Does someone have to seek out a special doctor who can certify them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So the doctors or the practitioners that are able to certify have to take, they have to be certified by the New York State Department of Health. And they do have to take a course online. It's a 4-hour course. And once they do that, they registered with the Department of Health of New York to be able to certify patients for medical marijuana. So right now what they're doing is before you had to wait for your actual hard card, medical marijuana card, to come in the mail, mm-hmm. and that could take up to maybe about 2 weeks. So that means a patient couldn't come to the dispensary once they had a certification. They had to wait a little bit. But now what they're doing is just recently enacted is you get a temporary card. So once you get certified, you can just print out your temporary card and you're able to come to the dispensary pretty much right away, like the day you get certified. So everything is really dependent on the practitioner and how they want to handle it. They want to, you know, they want to see the patient a few times before they get certified, or you know, they can do even telemedicine. A lot of practitioners do, you know, like Skype type, but more HIPAA, you know, HIPAA compliant mm-hmm. sort of platform. So once you get the certification and you download the temporary card, you can actually come in as soon as, you know, you can get those things together. So before, I would say it would take about 2 weeks in total to be able to come to a dispensary, but after you go see the doctor who can certify you, you could come in the next day if you wanted to.
That's great.
That's great. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about, I don't know, however you want to answer this. So this partly also has to do with the legislation in the state of New York dictating what forms products take. But essentially, Etain makes a variety of products, different ways that people can ingest or otherwise take mm-hmm. in the medicine. And those have different ratios of THC and CBD, and I think a lot of folks would like to hear sort of why that is, reasons are.
Yeah, I mean, it might be helpful maybe to talk about sort of what THC and CBD is and why we make it in certain ratios.
Great.
So basically, the actual cannabis plant has about 480 compounds in total. Mm-hmm. There are actually 60 that are active and that we have studied. And we know that actually has an effect on the body. Mm-hmm. But the ones we know the most about, because they're the most abundantly available cannabinoids, is THC and CBD. THC is delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinol. It's a mouthful. And you have CBD, which is cannabidiol. What's really interesting is the fact that the first recorded use actually dates back to 2900 B.C., they exhumed the body of a Chinese emperor, Fu Xi of China, and it turns out that, you know, he had, THC in his system. So it's very interesting that it's been around for a very, very long time. So the way THC and CBD affect us is that we have a system in our bodies that basically any mammal with a backbone possesses the system, mm-hmm. and it's called the endocannabinoid system. And it's short for ECS. And it's called the homeostatic supramodulatory system. And basically all it does is really just keep our bodies and the system of our bodies in a state of balance. And the function of that system is just to help us be able to relax, eat, sleep, forget, and protect. So the endocannabinoid system actually consists of receptors. Mm-hmm. So if you take THC and CBD, they work on this system. So it's called the CB1 and CB2 receptors. So the CB1 basically acts in the brain. Mm-hmm. So there's a concentration of the CB1 receptors in our brain. And the other receptor is the CB2 receptor, which is in our immune cells. And it basically regulates our immune function and inflammation. Mm-hmm. So we have different types of cannabinoids. So we have endocannabinoids, which are the ones that our body makes. Mm-hmm. We have phytocannabinoids, which are plant-based, so basically the marijuana plant or cannabis mm-hmm. plant. And then you have synthetic. So phytocannabinoids are basically where we extract the CBD and THC from in a plant. Of course, other cannabinoids and other plant material Then you have synthetic cannabinoids, which are the ones that are pharmaceuticals, so basically something like Marinol. Mm-hmm. The cannabis plant actually also contains compounds called terpenes. So terpenes are actually what give cannabis its scent. So sometimes, it has a very strong odor, and those are, it comes from the terpenes. And we know that the terpenes actually can give, have its own therapeutic effects as well. So we have, for example, myrcene, limonene, pinene, which actually smells like pine, and limonene, which smells like lemons, and they all have their own therapeutic properties. They work as anti-anxiety, anti-inflammatory, and so we mix those back into our products. So what is THC? So THC is the part of the plant that is psychoactive, so that's the part that can give you a little bit of the euphoric effect or a little bit of a high. But what it does is it helps with pain relief, it helps with inflammation, it helps with appetite stimulation, decreases anxiety, and also used as anti-nausea relief. Then you have CBD, which is cannabidiol, and that is the part that is non-psychoactive. So that's the part that doesn't give you a high. And the way that CBD works is a little bit differently than the way THC works. So we talked about how we have receptors CB1 and CB2, and so THC actually works on those receptors. You can think of it as a lock and key. So the key kind of goes and sits and opens the lock, and that's how THC works. It kind of goes and sits in this receptor to have its function. So CBD works a little bit differently in the sense that it actually slows down the breakdown of our own endocannabinoids, which help it to keep, that means it doesn't break down, so we get to keep our endocannabinoids in the system for a longer period of time. So the way that works is also it helps with inflammation, muscle spasms, it helps decrease anxiety, also used in seizures, seizure control, and also with pain relief. So at Etain, what we do is we'll take CBD and THC, and we put them into different ratios. So we have four different ratios. So we have something called Dolce, which is our 1:20 ratio. So that's just one part of THC to 20 parts of CBD. So the THC part of that is pretty much negligible in the sense that you don't feel the psychoactiveness of this compound because of the ratio that's in. So CBD, so this one is primarily CBD, and everything in New York is in oil form. So we cannot have any actual plant material, so everything is extracted into oils, and we put them into different products. So Dolce is the part that will help you with inflammation, give a lot of inflammation. It helps, decrease anxiety. Then we have Mezzo, which is our other brand that is also considered a high CBD. So that one is a 2:1 high CBD. So that means it just has two parts of CBD to one part THC. So in this ratio, this is for someone who has, let's take pain, for example. You have a lot of inflammation in the body, but also you add some THC, which will give you extra pain relief per se. But also because of the ratio, you might feel the THC affects a little bit more than the Dolce. So, and the nice thing about this CBD is that it actually counteracts some of the side effects of THC too. So this could be someone who is in a lot of pain and, will be able to use it during the day once they build up a little bit of a tolerance to the THC. Then we have Balance, which is a combination of THC and CBD together in equal amounts. Then we have Forte, which is our high THC. So that one is in the ratio of 20:1. That means it's 20 parts of THC to one part CBD. So that you're going to get the most psychoactive effects from that. But, it doesn't mean you can't use it during the day. It just means that you might need to build up a tolerance to it before you can. But probably good, really good nighttime usage in the beginning. So we have, they come in different forms. So we have a vaporizer. So that one you just basically inhale into your lungs. The nice thing about the vaporizer is that it's very fast acting. So you get max effects within 5 minutes or so, 5 to 10 minutes. and it has a duration about 2 to 4 hours. So you can just sort of repeat that throughout the day as often as you need to, but really nice because you have control over the effects of the product. Then you have, we have a tincture and an oral spray. So those go right underneath the tongue. Mm-hmm. So once it gets absorbed into the bloodstream underneath the tongue and into the mucosal membranes, it takes about half an hour to work, I would say, and it has a duration about 4 to 6 hours. We actually have a water-soluble powder that you can mix into any liquids, coffee, water, tea, smoothies, and even soups. And those take about half an hour to an hour to work after you ingest it, and it has a duration of 6 to 8 hours. And lastly, we have capsules. So those also take, since you have to ingest it, it could take up to 2 hours to work sometimes, just depending on the kind of food you have in your stomach. And it has a duration of 8 hours or so. So there are a variety of different dosage forms that can be used to sort of meet the needs of the patient because, sometimes you can't take the THC during the day because you might feel a little bit of, the psychoactive effect. So if you have to work and things like that, it might be kind of problematic to start from the beginning, but you do build up a tolerance to that eventually.
What are some of the other, you mentioned that with the vaporizer, that's very fast acting. What are some of the other qualities of the different formats? I know some take longer to work, but maybe do they stay present?
Can't hear you that well. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
Hello.
So I'm
sorry.
That's okay. What are the other properties of some of the other products? You mentioned with the vaporizer that's very fast acting. Would there be benefits and different advantages to, example, something that you would eat or ingest versus the vaporizer?
Yeah, I think the vaporizer is a really good product in the sense that I think when patients first come in, and I would 50-50, I would say 50% of our patients have some cannabis experience, and I would say the other 50% have never used cannabis before. So I think it's nice to be able to predict sort of the effect and the time that you'll feel something because, your lungs are so absorbent of anything you sort of put in there. So you kind of can pretty much predict sort of how fast you'll feel something. And it's nice because you can start with like one inhalation and then just wait about 5-10 minutes and then assess if you need to do any additional doses. So I think it's nice to be able to have the patient control that in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other ones that are a little bit longer acting, like let's take the tincture and the oral spray, for example. Let's say for the balance, the one-to-one combination, the actual dose is 5 drops. 5 drops will give you about 5 milligrams of THC and 5 milligrams of CBD. And a good starting dose for someone starting out who's never really had too much experience with cannabis, I would say is about 2.5 to 5 milligrams of THC. So when you do it in a tincture form, what it allows you to do is to be able to start with a small dose and slowly titrate up or go up once you feel the effects. It gives you a chance to be able to see the effects after doing tiny doses, and slowly when you feel comfortable, you go up in the doses. And that's sort of what we, try to do at the dispensary, is just to counsel someone on how to use the product and not get the side effects. Even though that, we know there are side effects and sure you can feel them, but let's try to, we try to minimize that so the patient has a good experience. So then the oral spray is also something that you can start, let's say a dose is 2 sprays, but you start with like 1 spray.
Mm-hmm.
And then do that for a while, get used to using the product, see how you feel on it. Then maybe, a couple of days later, you can go up to maybe 2 sprays a couple of times a day. And then we have the powder, the powder and the capsules are longer acting,
mm-hmm.
which make it a little bit less predictable sort of how you'll feel. And if you do start to feel side effects, you're probably stuck with that for a longer period of time than if you, let's say, took the vaporizer or something sublingual, under the tongue, like the tincture, the oral spray. So when a patient first comes in, we definitely do not give them THC, like a higher level of THC containing capsules or the powder, because, you know, we don't want the patient to have all these side effects and that it will stay for a long time with them. So we start them off with a shorter acting product just so that they can get used to using the products and feeling for the effects of it.
Can you tell us also why it's so beneficial, even though they're all in different ratios, all your products all include some THC? Can you talk about the entourage effect and the chemistry behind that?
I'm sorry, it's very low. I can't really hear you that well.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, it's better.
Yes, great. So, can you tell our listeners why it's important to have both the CBD and the THC in some dosage according to all your ratios? Can you talk about the entourage effect and the chemistry behind having both CBD and THC in a product?
So I think what you asked is about the different ratios and about the entourage effect?
Yes.
Okay. So the reason that we don't make just a straight CBD product or a straight THC product is that there is something called the entourage effect. So we're not just talking about CBD and THC being put together, but basically it's like a family of compounds that actually help that one compound work a lot better. So that's what the entourage effect is. So it's not just CBD and THC, but it's terpenes, it's other plant material. You get trace amounts of other cannabinoids in there because it's a plant, so you can't really extract everything out of it. So primarily it's THC and CBD and terpenes, but we do the trace amounts of other plant material, all the cannabinoids stay in the product, and kind of it just works really, really well together. So CBD by itself might not work as well, you know, until maybe you put a little bit of CBD, THC in the 1 to 20, like the Dolce.
Yeah, and there's something about, like, whole plant medicine, too, right? There's just, like, when we start to extract certain constituents, we lose a little bit of the full magic. But that's only because I'm an herbalist, and that's how I see it. But, yeah, thank you for all this info.
Sure.
I was wondering if it's okay to ask, because I am an herbalist and medicine maker in town, and I have an herb shop, and everyone comes in asking for CBD, but, and I totally understand, cannabis as like an important plant. And I've learned about it, through teachers, about the endocannabinoid system, and then about, you know, mostly anxiety, pain, immune regulation. So, you know, a lot of what you've been saying, but, then there's this whole fad around CBD products and like the gummies and the vapes and the this and the that and the topicals. And so while I like, you know, while I'm a plant lover and plant grower and medicine maker and like want to have good medicine available to folks, I don't really know how to navigate like what I'm technically allowed to sell or not sell in the shop. And then like how to navigate like the fad and the actual value of the medicine. And I'm just wondering, I mean, I know y'all are very different in terms of being a medical dispensary and working with practitioners, but do you have anything to like add around this zone?
Sure. Yeah, of course. I think, you know, it's like hemp versus, you know, cannabis, CBD. And so hemp is where, you know, anything sold at the, you know, the health food store, over the counter, things you can buy online, are, it's a CBD derived from hemp. And hemp is just a plant where it is like the, it's in the same family, but the plant itself has less than 0.3% THC.
Okay.
So the amount of THC in this plant is negligible. No matter how much you ingest or how much you inhale or smoke, you'll never get the psychoactive effects from that. You'll just really hurt your lungs, I think. So, but so basically, you'll see a lot of the hemp products, you know, as dietary supplements, in skin products, in, you know, clothing and things like that. So what I would say is CBD is CBD. It has the same anti-inflammatory effects, anti-anxiety effects. So we know that CBD does these things. I think, you know, what you have to be cautious of is the fact that you don't know how the CBD has been harvested or manufactured or extracted or where it's really from. So a lot of the CBD is actually imported from other countries right now, because there's a farm bill of 2014 which gave licenses to some farmers here in the U.S. to be able to grow hemp products.
Here in the Hudson Valley, too, we have one local, actually.
Hudson Hemp. And also, you know, there's a bill, there's a farm bill of 2018 that we're just waiting for it to, you know, it's in the Senate, so I think it will get passed. But basically, you know, CBD from hemp is still considered a Schedule I drug. So right now, and this is why there's so much legality behind it, that we can't really, not everyone can grow, not everyone can extract, you have to be given certain licenses for it. So what I would say is, if you wanted to buy CBD products, you would really have to make sure that it's, you know, free of pesticides. You want to make sure it's organically grown. You want to, you know, just make sure that it follows good manufacturing practices. So let's say you kind of wanted to buy this, you know, oil, but you're not really sure. I would just call the company and say, hey, can you tell me a little bit about how you extracted these products? And, you know, is it pesticide free? Is it organically grown? Those are the things that you want to do. So it's hard to say, and it's kind of confusing, but I would say, you know, you have to do your due diligence to buy a good product, and they shouldn't be, it shouldn't be really inexpensive. I mean, it's, you know, good CBD still costs, it's not that cheap. It's not that inexpensive. So,
right.
If you're paying, like, let's say $15 for a little bottle, it might be because that there isn't a lot of CBD in there, or it's just not really a good product. So I think you have to do your due diligence and really figure out if it's a good product. Mm. And that's hard to navigate. So.
Yeah,
it's not highly regulated.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about Etain's processes and the growing and processing procedures and everything that you guys do?
Sure. So we have the regulations state that we have to have one manufacturing plant and four dispensaries. So we have the four dispensaries and our manufacturing facilities up in Chestertown, which is right by Lake George. So we do everything there. We grow our products there. We manufacture the products there. And the nice thing about the New York program is the fact that random samples of our lots that we make are tested by a lab, by the Department of Health. So the percentage, the margin of error is very, very small. So if you don't come within those numbers, we have basically what's in the bottle has to be what's in the bottle, so doses. So if we say one capsule, this capsule has 9 milligrams of THC, it has to have 9 milligrams of THC, or basically we have to destroy everything. So that is something that is really great about the New York program, is that, you know, all dispensaries, all the companies operating in the state of New York, is that the products are tested, the random samples are tested. So you're always guaranteed a good product, and you're always getting what it says on the bottle.
So from the consumer or patient point of view, that's a really great safeguard then. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how many doctors, I'm sorry, just that made me think back to our earlier conversation. How many doctors are y'all working with or have signed up?
Right now in the state of New York, there's 1,836 practitioners registered to be able to certify for medical marijuana.
Okay. Wow.
Hmm. Yeah, it's not a large number.
How does New York compare to other states like Colorado or Massachusetts?
It's a fraction.
Very different. Yeah, it's very, very different from Colorado. I mean, New York is probably one of the, it's one of the most regulated states.
Yeah.
So it's regulated a lot. So I think that's what keeps it sort of, because even like 2 years ago, we didn't have all these qualifying conditions. Like chronic pain was added 2 years ago. Then you had PTSD that was added, early this year. Then you had, then we had the opioid replacement qualifying condition. So it's helped. It's definitely helped the program, but it's a very regulated program.
Hmm. What do you see the future looking like here, or even for Etain in the next like couple years or so? Or what are some of your hopes and dreams?
I guess, you know, my hopes and dreams is to be able to have to have patients have more access to medical marijuana in the state of New York, because I know a lot of patients that come to us are really sort of at the end of their rope. Maybe, you know, when it comes to opioids, maybe they are sort of maxed out on their doses and it's not really helping as much anymore, but they have no choice but to take these medications. So I think, you know, my hope would be that it would become sort of mainstream rather than sort of an alternative therapy,
mm-hmm.
or maybe used, you know, side by side with something so that maybe you don't go super high on an opioid dose. So there was like this online survey that was done, I think it was in Minnesota. And so basically it was about, they took 245 patients that were on medical marijuana, and they took 184 patients. They actually took 184 patients out of the whole group, and 119 of them were using opioids. And after starting, you know, medical marijuana therapy, the numbers went down. Only 33 out of 184 were still using opioids. So
amazing.
These numbers are really significant. And all across the board, I mean, even like something like Zoloft, like an SSRI, that decreased. You know, anti-inflammatory use decreased in, you know, when you added medical marijuana. So,
amazing.
So kind of, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, since you brought up sort of pharmacological medications, I think that last week I read that the sort of preliminary trials on a big pharma cannabis-based medication is coming. And I know that pharmaceutical companies have been investing in medical marijuana heavily. Do you see any, do you have anything to say about that or how that might bode for the future? Or,
well, so there was, there is a drug right now on the market that has FDA approval. It's called Epidiolex, and it is a plant derived CBD product. So it's, but it's a pharmaceutical product now. What it's used for, or they were doing studies at NYU, and it's used for children who have seizures that are intractable seizures. So no matter what medication they take, I mean, it is uncontrollable. So they studied it in Dravet syndrome and Lennox-Gastaut disease, and it turns out that it did actually decrease the number of seizures that these children had. So there is that one product now. I think actually, the other ones are synthetic. So there is this one product that did actually get FDA approval, and I think they're going to start selling it maybe by the end of the year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know, though, what it looks like for, I don't know, I'm not really sure how I feel about sort of the pharmaceutical industry getting into the medical marijuana industry. I don't know.
Well, they're probably, I mean, I can imagine if, like, the more and more that people take it and need less and less pharmaceuticals, potentially they're going to, like, scream real loud. And I'm curious, too, like, kind of along that subject, but maybe a little bit of a tangent. Like, do you foresee or do you hear of any conversation happening around medical marijuana for Lyme disease? Because we have both like acute Lyme contraction here, and we also have a lot of chronic Lyme cases here in the Hudson Valley. We're like super in the eye of the storm, and so both for like acute pain and symptoms, and then also chronic, like I was saying, chronic maintenance. I was just wondering if you're in any conversations or if people talking about medical marijuana for Lyme patients.
Yeah, so we have seen a lot of Lyme patients.
Oh, wow, okay.
A lot, especially in our Kingston
dispensary,
because it's right by, you know, Woodstock. And so we do see a lot of Lyme patients. And I would say they do really, really well on CBDs, because it just helps to lower the inflammation in the body.
Yeah.
And even like the one-to-one combination, patients seem to do really well on that. So I see definitely improvement when someone with Lyme or chronic Lyme starts using medical marijuana.
Is that on that list of designated?
It's not.
It's not. Okay. But you're able
it's
to.
It's not.
Okay. But say, does someone else need to have another condition on that list and then sent to you from their doctor, and then they can say, oh, by the way, I also have Lyme, or am I getting that wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, a lot of the Lyme patients probably deal with chronic pain.
Yeah. So oh, okay. I'm sure that chronic pain on the list.
Like chronic right. pain.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you.
So that's what I would
yeah,
that's what I think it would fall under.
I didn't hear you say glaucoma under the list of approved conditions. Is that not under the list of approved conditions?
No, glaucoma is not a qualifying condition in New York.
Because I know other patients in other states who have received medical marijuana for that condition.
I think it might be a qualifying condition, I think, in New Jersey, but I don't know about, it's definitely not in New York.
That's too bad.
When did the Kingston location open up?
January of 2015.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Wow. Yeah. Curious if anyone, hey Hudson, if you're listening and if anyone has gone, call us. Yeah. Be fun. Interesting to hear about that. That's so great. So, okay. What are we? Yeah. A couple years now, 3 years now.
That's great. Yeah. And so tell us a little bit about Etain and who's behind it and kind of what plans might be for growing the business as well as growing the medicine.
Love a good pun.
Yeah, so, you know, the company started because, you know, we have our CEO, chief operating officer, and the horticultural officer is it's a mom and two daughters. So we have Amy Peckham, who's our CEO, Hillary Peckham, who is our chief operating officer, and Keely Peckham. So right now, it started because Amy's mother, her mother was very sick. She had ALS, but couldn't get access to medical marijuana because it wasn't a program that was around. And I think just seeing their grandmother suffer kind of led them down this path. So to be able to get pharmaceutical-grade medication to patients that might otherwise be sort of a little bit maybe scared to start, you know, get something off the streets and, you know, take it. So I think it was one of those things where we were able to have patients feel okay about taking something because it is manufactured in a pharmaceutical way. And we talk about it in a very pharmaceutical way, a medicinal way, so...
Great.
Amazing.
And so New York State basically dictates that you can have 4 dispensaries max. So you won't be opening any different branches or anything. Those are pretty much...
No, we won't be. But so basically 5 additional. So right now, before they allowed another 5 to be licensed, it was 20 across the state of New York, just 20 dispensaries. And, you know, everybody had a grow facility. Now they've allowed the next 5 to come in. Oh. So now there are 10 registered organizations. One of them, I think only one is really up and running as of now. So there's another additional 3 or 4 dispensaries in the state of New York. But, you know, more is going to come.
Wow.
Which is nice because it will give patients more access in the area that they live in because, you know, some patients travel like up to 2-3 hours to be able to get to a dispensary to get medication.
Right, right. And where your 4 locations are currently, Kingston and
Syracuse?
We have one in Kingston. It's 445 Route 28. We have one in New York City, which is right by Grand Central. We have one in Syracuse on Erie Boulevard and in Yonkers.
Oh, wow.
So let's say a person is living with a condition and they're listening and they're like, wow, I think this medicine could really help me. What would be their next step? They wouldn't just go to their regular GP or perhaps they could, but how would they know which doctor, how can they find a doctor who's registered?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So the Department of Health actually has a list of doctors or practitioners that are able to certify, and it's broken down by region, so where you live. So I would just basically go on the website and you know, just call around and see what they want as far as what's required of them to bring to their first visit, how much they charge, because that's important to see how much they charge, because everybody charges a different amount. I think it can go from, you know, $150 all the way to $500-$600. So you might want to just have, you might want to call to see, just to get some information. And then what's nice, too, is that if, let's say, the patient is not able to get to the dispensary, they can actually designate two caregivers, and it doesn't necessarily have to be family. So you can have someone go to the dispensary and pick it up for you. And that caregiver can actually have up to five patients that they can be a caregiver for. The certification, so the actual card and the certification is good for 1 year from the date that you get certified. And also, if you have a terminal illness, it does not expire.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Great.
Could you give our listeners your website so that if
sure,
folks
the website
wanna...
is etainhealth.com.
Okay, and Etain is E-T-A-I-N.
Yeah, E-T-A-I-N. Correct. Health.com.
Okay,
and if you wanted to send us an email, it's info@etainhealth.com.
Great, thank you.
And to find the certified doctors, they would go to the New York State Department of Health website, is that correct?
Yeah, if you just Google, I just usually put in New York State Medical Marijuana, and it'll get you to that website. And it's pretty extensive. They have a frequently asked questions. It tells you about the program. It tells you, it has a lot of information.
Great. That's so great.
That's great.
Wow.
Are there any topical products that Etain makes? I know in the hemp-based CBD world, and I'm a massage therapist, so I just took a class recently.
Yeah,
about.
So we are working on a topical product as we speak. It'll be a couple months, but I think we'll have it pretty soon.
Great.
I don't know the exact time frame, but we will have a topical product coming out. It works really well on the skin because of there are a lot of receptors on our skin, so it works very well topically.
Yeah, that's great, and I certainly know of anecdotal experience from folks in other states where marijuana is not as regulated as New York State, who use topical whole plant preparation and have really great results for chronic pain. So that's exciting.
Are there programs that you know of that are like working to educate doctors around the beneficial effects of this type of plant medicine?
Do you have seminars or anything? Or
We don't have specifically seminars. If someone asks me to do a little education program, I do those, but I don't have anything, we don't specifically have anything going on as far as, you know, anything set, but we are starting on the 17th of September in our Manhattan dispensary a patient education program. So it's going to happen probably once a month. Our first one starting on the 17th of September in the New York City dispensary, just for any patient who is not certified but wants information on cannabis or medical marijuana and its uses. And, you know, there are a lot of questions around it, so we're going to have this patient support group going on, too, like once a month.
That's cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
We're starting in Manhattan, but because it's the first one, we want to see how it goes, and then we'll probably open it up to the other dispensary soon after that.
What are some of the questions that you get asked that we haven't asked you today?
Oh, it's kind of the same questions you asked. You know, how do I get certified? Just things like that, dosage forms. So we have these programs just so that we can allay some of the fears that patients might have or the trepidation they feel coming into a dispensary for the first time, not knowing what to expect. I mean, I literally have patients that sit across from me on the other side, and they're shaking.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, are you okay? They're like, I'm so nervous. I'm very nervous.
Oh.
So I try to really make them feel that we are talking about medicine and there's nothing to be nervous about, but definitely it has that feeling of where people feel like they should be nervous around it, talking about it. So,
well, yeah, there's such a stigma to it, and you know, the cannabis plant, and then even just plants in general, like at, you know, at my herb shop or at the million markets I've ever done, it's some people really still are just like very interested, and they'll ask questions, but they're very nervous and kind of look at me like I'm nuts. And they don't understand, you know, they don't remember that this is all like native indigenous medicine plants, like we're here before any pill we've ever taken, but people, we've been so disconnected from that. So people really, you know, I understand why they're scared. And then once they start taking it and see the effects, I had one person call me this morning. She had bought a tincture from my shop on, what was it, Saturday, and for her anxiety. And she finally got the relief she was looking for and got the good first night's sleep in months. And she called to just like tell me how amazing that moment was for her. And she walked in like really nervous, because she's like, what the heck are these like plant drops? Like, I don't even know what's happening here. But then she was brave and she tried it after we talked, and then it like changed her life overnight, which is so amazing. But
it's so amazing. It's so amazing. I hear that over and over. You know, so I'm still shocked when a patient comes, you know, after a week using it, and they'll say, wow, it's a miracle.
Right.
And it just makes me so happy when I hear that, and I feel just really happy for the patient that they're getting some relief now.
Yeah,
it's very, very satisfying, and to hear that kind of feedback, and it's amazing. So every day, it's like reaffirming just sort of what I already know.
Sure, and, totally.
So it's great, great.
Is the extraction facility also in Chestertown? Is it like the grow and the extraction facility there, and the products are made there?
Yeah, so we do everything there. So everything is grown there, extracted, you know, via CO2 extraction, which is just a method where you, you know, CO2 exists as gas, usually in regular air, but we heat it up to a super critical temperature. It just means that you are at a point where you turn the CO2 from a gas form into a liquid form. So, and then you're able to extract the different cannabinoids and different plant material from the plant.
Wow.
So it's called a solventless extraction, but it's a very nice and pure way to extract the cannabinoids.
Wow, I'd love to see that machinery.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Yeah, it's a crazy looking machine. It looks like sort of like Star Trek.
Right.
It's a very big piece of machinery.
Wow. And does the fresh plant just like get, sorry, this is like a naive question, but does the fresh plant like get put into the machine essentially, or?
Yeah, so it's like, it's ground up. It's
ground up
and
first.
And then you put it into like these big, it's like these vats. I don't know what to call it, but and then what's cool is, you know, it uses chromatography basically. So, you know, there's a graph on the screen, and you kind of know exactly at what point in time and what temperature which cannabinoid is being extracted and what terpene is extracted. So it's very interesting. It's very, very, it's very interesting.
Wow,
very cool.
That's amazing. Yeah, that is amazing.
Is there anything else you want to share with us that we haven't gotten to about the medicine that you make available to folks?
I think, you know, for patients who are really looking for relief and they're not getting it from their, you know, current, you know, treatment modality, I think it's worth a phone call to just call and reach out to the dispensary. It doesn't have to be Etain. But just anybody that, you know, if you were interested in it, I think the patient should do themselves a favor and just call and get information to see what it can actually do. No one is obligated to buy anything, but if you just, you know, if you want information, I think just having knowledge is power. So I think that's what I would like to say. I think just to be able to know about cannabis and what it can do, and that it could really help you. So.
What's the process like when someone comes and sees you, they're certified, and then they come and they speak with you and you counsel them, and then what does the follow-up look like? Is that between you and the patient, or is that between the patient and their other doctor, or all three together?
No, I don't really do, I don't really follow up with the physician or the practitioner who's certified by the patient unless they want to talk to me specifically and kind of figure out the doses or ratios together. But usually it's just between the patient and myself, and they'll follow up with the doctor whenever, I guess, the practitioner wants to see them, like every 3 months, every 6 months, or next year. It just really depends on their practitioner. So first time they come, they meet with me. The second time, let's say, they can do a follow-up with me again if they want. If they want to talk about, like, something's not working out right, or if they have questions, we can sit down and just kind of, you know, go over everything and try something else maybe. Otherwise, if they're really happy with the ratio they've gotten and they're happy with the products, they can just order. We have an online ordering.
Oh, cool. They can just kick it with that medicine.
So they can order online and then basically just pick up at the dispensary. So everything's just ready for them.
Oh, sure.
And they just have to come in and out because sometimes, you know, you're short on time. So,
what happens?
You can do that or you follow up.
If you have four dispensaries, are there other, like, is there a pharmacist per dispensary? Or
yeah,
do you?
There are.
Okay. I was going to say, I was curious. Yeah. Okay. So there's three other.
Yeah, there's a pharmacist on site every day that we're open.
Okay. And which one do you work at?
Oh, I primarily work out at the New York City location.
Nice.
It's on 39th Street and between 3rd and Lex.
Nice. Great. Amazing. And how many?
You guys should come visit.
I know. I want to.
Yeah.
This is so cool. Oh my gosh! I'm so glad to know that this is happening, and hope more and more doctors sign on for this. I guess it's really like up to the individual doctor, right? If they're like, the patients are asking, or they're learning, or they're curious, like they themselves sign themselves up through the Department of Health, right?
So yeah, it's like, I think it's one of those things where, you know, it isn't really taught in any, you know, school, you know, right now. They might touch upon it because it is a topic. It is medicine. But I don't think it just now depends on sort of, I mean, what doctors want are clinical trials and actual studies that have been done, like real studies. Like right now, there are some studies going on, like Sue Sisley is a doctor who's actually doing a study with PTSD and veterans and cannabis use. So there are some studies going on, but no real clinical trials. So, and what physicians want are actual data, numbers. And unless they have, like, solid numbers, a lot of the practitioners are a little skeptical about it, I think.
And, of course, a lot of clinical trials are sponsored by pharmaceutical companies, you know, so the funding.
Yeah, I mean, it has to, it's true. And it has to go through so many different sort of avenues to be able to do a clinical trial. And, you know, it's FDA and, you know, so it's hard to do those if it's a Schedule I drug.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And then, go ahead. You know, but then that immediately brings me back to what we were just talking about before. Then when you are working with a patient and they're like, you know, from when you see them to say a couple days later or however long it takes for them to like integrate with the medicine, and then they express to you how much better they feel physically. Mm-hmm. And then that affects like their emotional body and spirit body. It's like, where's the clinical, you know, it's like, how do you quantify that in a clinical trial? You can't, you know, it's
exactly. Well,
great practitioners now also, I mean, I think a lot of the functional medicine folks, you know, there aren't clinical trials on like the paleo diet or something like this, but they there's anecdotal evidence and they have clinical experience within their own practice. And so I think, you know, open-minded doctors are seeing this firsthand in their own practices.
Yeah.
So that's,
I mean, there's tons of anecdotal evidence, you know?
I just want that to be more that like validated. You
On every level, not just with cannabis products and food, but exercise and meditation and having a balanced life and all these great things that many of us know greatly contribute to being healthy and happy.
Could you give us your website one more time?
My website? Sure. It's etainhealth.com.
etainhealth.com. That's so great.
And you can email us at info@etainhealth.com.
Great. Great. And the first,
and,
oh yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, if you want a phone number, do you want the phone number?
Yeah,
sure.
Sure. It's 914 437-7898.
Great. Well, thank you so much. And please keep us posted if you ever do a patient day,
information day, yeah,
here at the Kingston office, so we can let folks know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm. Sure.
Thank you so much for spending time with us today. This was like incredibly informative, and I'm so glad to know that y'all are doing this thing.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. This is great.
Yeah, thank you.
Our pleasure.
And you've been listening to
Roots Runners Isms, Radical Health and Healing from the Underground. Always or usually the fourth Monday of the month.